Please join me in welcoming our 10-minute speaker, Nikki R. from San Luis Obispo.
Hi, I'm Nikki. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a little anxious, a little nervous right now. I was thinking, sitting there, you know, if you guys were to ask me to speak at a church, I probably would have told you to take another hit of whatever you're smoking. And, you know, it's one of these things that I get to do today because of this program. Showing up, even when it's hard, when it's difficult, when it's scary. I've never spoken in front of a room this big in front of a microphone before. But, you know, this is definitely a gift of this program. I am a local from Los Osos, California, tiny little town, and I have a really beautiful, loving family. I got to see them today. Today is my dad's 74th birthday. It's pretty weird how old he's getting, but, you know. don't tell him I said that. And that was a true gift of this program, actually getting to show up and be present and sit with him and buy him lunch and hang out with the family. And it was, I know it wouldn't have been possible a few years ago. It was pretty much frowned upon if I showed up. we're not going to talk about that, though. I get to do a lot of beautiful things today because of this program, because of the steps. So growing up in Los Osos, as I'm sure a lot of you know, it's a really small town. There's not a lot to do. A lot of people go there to retire. And when you're a kid growing up, you just kind of find whatever you can. And me, being an addict and alcoholic from, you know, a young age, for sure, I liked to do mischievous things. I liked to get myself into as much trouble as possible. And I succeeded. I definitely passed that class. And that carried in through my teenage years, into my adulthood. I somehow managed, I feel like, to kind of present myself as like a normal person. But when that door closed and I was by myself, all bets were off. I went as far off the handle as possible. Whatever I could do to change the way that I felt, I would do it. And that carried into a lot of my formative years, you know. I remember so many nights telling myself, trying to promise myself that I wasn't going to drink, I wasn't going to use, I wasn't going to go do X, Y, and Z, and failing every time. Letting myself down, and in turn, letting people that love me down. You know, of course, I'm sure we all know, like the rap sheets of getting arrested, causing a scene, getting kicked out of bars, all of it, tenfold. And there was a part of me that loved it. You know, I am addicted to chaos. I love the drama. I love hearing what he said, she said, getting in the mix of it. And that got me into places that were not safe. You know, there are drugs in my story. I use drugs alcoholically. And I'm pretty grateful to be able to say that today, because I wouldn't get to have the life that I have today without those experiences. They were really, really hard and really scary. And, you know, it's a trip. Like I've talked to my sponsor about this. I've talked to my friends about this. Thinking back on the things that I lived through, they felt like I was watching a movie. You know, it was like a bad, you know, true crime movie. And it's insane. The things that I did were absolutely insane. You know, I'm not proud of everything that I experienced, but I am grateful for those things today. You know, the incomprehensible demoralization was like tattooed on my forehead all the time. So, growing up in Los Osos, got myself into all kinds of trouble, found like-minded people. You guys know this, the whole story. I mean, we all experienced that. And bad things happened, and I got to a place of such hopelessness and desperation that there was no other choice. There was no other option. Nobody wanted me. Nobody wanted me there anymore. My family changed the locks, would call the police when I showed up. You know, my dad, who I got to spend his birthday with today, said, "You got it. Go keep doing what you want to do. We're not going to watch you do this anymore." I got sober by the grace of God and a little bit of willingness to listen, because I ran my life completely off the rails to the point where it was like, okay, there's nothing else for me to do now. I went to a facility in San Jose. One of the coolest experiences of my life. I'm blessed that I got to build a community there with everybody in the rehab that I went to, with the rooms that are up there. They're pretty gnarly in San Jose. It's a very different feeling coming to a church meeting there. And, you know, I stayed up there for 5 years. I had to. There was nothing left for me here. This is where I did all of my damage and all of my wreckage, and I couldn't face it. And there were other underlying issues why I could not face the things that happened here. So I buckled down, I took the cotton out of my ears and put it in my mouth, and I sat on my hands, and, you know, even though I just wanted to, like, stomp my feet the whole time and tell everybody else what they were telling me was wrong and I'm going to do it my way, it wasn't working. So I got to stay there. I got to go to an SLE. I got to be a part of a community there. I was invited to work as a chemical dependency technician at that rehab that I went to. I ended up becoming the supervisor of that facility. And I'm not saying this as like bragging rights. Like, this was the true testament just to getting sober, you know, starting to do what was suggested of me. All of these things, these beautiful things started happening, and, you know, COVID hit. And I used COVID as a perfect excuse not to participate in my own life anymore. And I walked away from you guys. And I got to a point of complete emotional instability that I just fell, you know. Luckily, I didn't relapse, but my emotional sobriety was on the floor. So I moved back here. And that was the best thing that could have possibly happened after getting sober, was coming back and being a part of my family's life, starting to go to meetings again, getting a sponsor who I love, and just really doing this deal. You know, I remember the feeling of, you know, just kind of letting go of the reins and, like, letting my higher power really take hold of my life and my will. Because I just wanted to hold on to it as tightly as I could. I have so many beautiful gifts today as a direct result of this program. And some of them are material things, you know. I remember the day that my sister picked me up from the psych ward to take me to rehab, and we got to stay in a hotel, and there was a king-size bed there. And it was like I hadn't seen a bed in a decade. Today I get to have a bed that I sleep in every night. I get to have a roof over my head that I get to pay for. I get to go to work. I get to show up. I get to be present. All of these things just because I'm sober, you know? It's incredible. You know, doing the steps is one of the biggest components for me wanting to be here. Like, today I want to do the work, and I want to go meet with my sponsor, and I want to come to these meetings. I used to not feel like that. It's just an incredible life, you know. I get to read the daily reflections today, every day, and, like, relate to it. No, there's something in there every single day that I'm 100%. That is Nikki right there. So many beautiful things that have come just from this program, and I'm so grateful to our predecessors that paved this for us. You know, I was starting to kind of get in my head about, like, what am I going to say? Oh my God, this is a big room of people. It's not about me. It's never been about me. It's about us as a whole and coming here together and staying sober, one alcoholic at a time, sharing our truth, sharing our stories, getting up here. And that's my favorite part. It also takes the anxiety away a little bit because it has nothing to do with me. You know, and I'm grateful to Jules for asking me to do this. You've been a true friend. I have a lot of friends in this room, you know. That was not the case a few years ago. That was not the case at all. I am just extremely blessed and beyond lucky to have the life that I get to have today, because there was a point in my life, this is the funny part for me, this is how my higher power works. I was destined to not live past 25. I was like, as a kid even, I was like, no, there's nothing. I don't want to get 74 years old. I don't want to be an old man. I got sober at 25. That is when my life changed completely, and I'm grateful for that. You know, I know a lot of people that we don't ever get to see in these rooms. A lot of people will never make it here, and that's why I want to keep my seat as long as possible. So thank you, guys.
Thank you, Nikki. Let's give her another round of applause.